week in our verse-by-verse study of the book of James. You guys getting anything out of this? Good, good. I'm glad Brother Rick is. That makes me feel good. All those hours and hours of studying. Well, you know what those preachers say. If I could just reach one person, then it's worth it. Well, that's good. That's good enough. Me and Brother Rick, that's good. Okay, no, I'm playing. You know what? So, let's see. Week number one, the Brother James, in his letter told us that trials are going to come. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of being a servant of the Most High God. The Lord uses trials, and I wish he didn't, but that's not my place. He's the boss. I'm not. Okay? But he uses trials to mature his people, for him to get the glory and for us to get the growth. Amen? Amen? Week two, we got into that temptation. We talked about how that is not from God, that we're all born with that selfishness in us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that selfish man, that flesh man doesn't want to give up, and he rears his ugly head every once in a while, doesn't he? Am I talking the truth right now? So we have those temptations. We get tempted sometimes. Our flesh wants to do things it should not do. And then, let's see, last week, man, I should have studied this more. Last week, we're doers of the word, right? Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Okay, so we read this good book. We listen to this good book. We meditate on this good book. But we also walk this good book out. And therefore, we're going to be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
This week, no favor. No favorites. Now, looking at you guys, we could almost just skip this whole week. Matter of fact, let's just vote. Y'all want to just go home right now and get ready for the game? Okay. Cool, 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 cool. I know some of y'all in your heart were like, man, that'd be cool if he was being honest right now. Oh, my goodness gracious. No favorites. No favorites, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today. Father God, we love you and we praise you. You are worthy of our praise, Lord God. Let us have that hunger and that desire to put you first, Lord Jesus, to be what you've called us to be. Lord God, just touch our hearts. Touch our hearts this morning. Show us what we need to work on, Lord God. And let us be what you've called us to be. Let us give up those things that are not productive to our Christian walk. Thank you, Father God, for strengthening this congregation, Lord, and healing our hurts, and healing our pains, and healing our rejections, Lord. Just let us feel your love, Lord God. As so many of us go through these trials and these storms and these uncertainties, let us feel your loving arms around us. Let us know that you are with us, Lord God. And thank you, Father God, that we know in our hearts that your word is true and that you will get us through these storms. Thank you for your anointing on your word, your anointing on myself, Lord God. Let what needs to be said, and let us walk in this word, and we love you, and we praise you. And everybody in the church said, amen. That was a pretty good prayer. I'm one of my best. I'm playing, guys. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Chapter 2. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Amen. So you guys ready to do this? All right. Raise your hand if you're ready to get into the Word. All right, Bobby Jean. James 1 and verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious or spiritual and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You know that we can deceive ourselves about almost anything. You know that we all have those potentials for those certain sins. Are y'all with me this morning? That we have struggled with for a long time, and we can deceive ourselves with anything and say, you know what? I think God is cool with this little thing right here. Does that make sense? Well, we know that's not the case, right? Because this is what the Word of God says, and we need to line our will up with what the Word of God says. So sometimes we say things we ain't got no business saying. Does that make sense? If anyone thinks he is religious, so if anyone thinks he is a Christian, or someone thinks he is spiritual and does not bridle his tongue. Okay, so have you guys ever seen like those muzzle things that people put on dogs that might snap at you or bite at you? You know what I'm talking about? James is saying Christians, we need to spiritually muzzle ourselves. We need to watch the things we say. Now, what James is doing is if you remember our previous studies, James had already mentioned about being quick to listen, remember? Slow to speak and slow to anger. And he talked about the anger of man, or man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. So James has already talked about how we talk and how we communicate with people and about verbal altercations and stuff like that in past weeks. And he's also going to bring that up again. He's going to take the gloves off, really, in chapter 3 when we get there and talk about this some more. So what James does, his kind of style is he'll hit this topic, then he'll kind of go to another topic, then he can go back to that previous topic. Have you guys ever done anything like that when you're writing a letter or something? When you're on a certain topic or addressing something, and then you start something else, and you're like, oh, man, I need to go back and work on that some more. Maybe, maybe not. Bad analogy. Okay. Well, okay, check it out. I prepare a lot of sermons, you know. And I know what it feels like. Sometimes you're really digging into something and you're flowing. You're like, okay, yeah, we need to address this. We need to talk about this. Oh, this is good. And then you'll kind of get on something else, which is good also. But then you start thinking, man, I need to go back and deal with that some more. Now, the reason why preachers do that and the reason why James does that is because there's a weight on people that you know, teach the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes you want to make sure, even sometimes, and it can affect the audience, and they're like, man, he will not get off this subject. And you can get weary and tired of it. But what it is we don't want to mislead anybody. We don't want to leave anything out that can be good or encouraging in our Christian walk. Amen. Can I get a witness? So James is going back and addressing something he already hit. And he's going to, that's a trend you'll see in James's letter where he'll go back and forth and just kind of building up on that foundation. And it's all good and it's all profitable. And like the Apostle Paul said, I don't mind telling you again because it's good for you. Amen. He is risen, right? So let's give him some praise this morning. Who in here is wasting time? Nobody. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. And we're here because we love him. So let's praise him one more time. Hey, JD, what's up, man? Good to see you, brother. How about them apples, man? Okay, God is good. God is awesome. Okay, so we need to bridle our tongue. Hold back some things. Amen? Now, here's the deal. It's not what comes into the mouth or what you put in the mouth that defiles a man. Did y'all know that? So you can eat bacon if you want to. If you got a clear conscience, you can eat a mountain of bacon. Amen. That'll preach, right? Can I get a witness? Next Friendship Sunday, can we have a mountain? No, I'm playing. It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we want to control the things that we say, then we need to address the bigger issue, right? Does that make sense? Because we can be aggressive and we can be argumentative and we can talk depressing and discouraging things all the time. Well, those are overflows of what's really going on in your heart. So we need to address these situations by the Word of God, by yielding to the Holy Spirit when He points something out to me. Amen. And then I need to deal with it. I need to give it to Him. Amen. Because you know what? We're not being that good of a witness, are we? If we're constantly around people and we're saying foul things or bad things or critical things or one of those guys that profane all the time, right? Can I get a witness? I know I'm stepping on some toes. I'm not saying you're not a Christian if you say a bad word every now and again. But I'm saying increasingly we need to be edifying in our speech. Amen? And that's going to come from selling out to the Lord and letting Him deal with these issues. So James is like saying, hey, look at yourself, man. If you're always saying nasty, bad things, or you're always quick to fight and snap at somebody, then there's something going on, amen? And you need to deal with that, amen, so you can be a blessing to those around you and encouragement to those around you and show Christians how to live a godly life and show the world that good, godly example and witness, amen? If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, this is something that we need to work on. Are we clear on that? Okay. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. But as you excel in everything, as you grow in relationship with the Lord, are y'all with me? As I hunger and thirst to put you first, amen, as you excel in everything, now here's a couple of things we need to be doing. Grow in faith, in speech, in knowledge, so on and so forth. What's right there in the middle of that? In speech. The Apostle Paul says you need to work on how we talk. Well, how are we going to work on how we talk? Deal with those heart issues. Deal with what's going on. Amen? If I'm constantly saying how worthless I am or you know, stuff like that, well, then, you know, there's something that needs to be dealt with. Just not the way you say or what you're saying, but somewhere there may, whether there's some depression that's come on you, you bought a lie from the devil, amen? Let's give that to the Lord. Let's work on our speech, amen? Amen. Okay, 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. For thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said, thank you, Jesus. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, is that you? Do you want to love life and have good days? Peter's saying, we can stay out of so much trouble and things can be better for us if we would work on some key things right here. You can keep yourself out of so much trouble if you just watch what you say and yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen? For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We get ourselves in so much trouble, don't we? Without even thinking about it. It's like breathing air sometimes. Man, I'm going to lie just because it makes me look good. I'm going to curse because I just cursed since I was a baby. You know, or what? You know what I mean? Raise your hands if you cursed since you're a baby. These are things we need to give to the Lord, right? Little test. James is like throwing out a little test here. James likes to throw out little tests. You think you're superpower Christian? Well, what's going on? What kind of things are you saying, man? That's going to show you what's going on in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. God is good. Verse 27. Now, this is beautiful right here because this is kind of a picture of that Christian walk. This is the road that we're on. Are you on that servanthood journey this morning? Are you a servant of the Most High God? Well, we are to live a set-aside life, a holy life. We're to be holy because He is holy. Amen?
Amen?
Religion that is pure and undefiled. A little test for you again. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So if I'm a Christian, then I should be bearing some godly fruit, right? The Lord should be giving me, as I get more intimate with Him and sell out to Him, He should be giving me a burden for those who are less fortunate than myself. Amen. I love this church, and I see so many people in this church that have stepped out of their comfort zone and been a blessing to the defenseless ones, the orphans. We could just skip that all together, but I think we need to give honor where honor is due, amen? And I want you to give your brothers and sisters in Christ, your Christian family, give them a round of applause this morning. I was talking to a Christian sister, and she goes to this church. She's pretty awesome. She has such a burden for the orphan, for the foster baby. And I could look around, and there's almost people that I know personally have stepped out of their comfort zone to be a blessing in those areas in each and every row in here. That's just a thing this church has got going on. Amen? But I was talking to this lady, and she would not call them clients, but the world would call them clients, but it's way more than a job. And she loves these babies, and she gives herself for these children. That is a model for me right there. That is something that I can look at. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I'm talking to you this morning. That is something that I look at, and I am convicted. I am convicted where I've dropped the ball numerous times. You know what I mean? So when we live this Christian life and we put feet to our faith, we are a blessing and encouragement to those around us. That's why we do it. That's one of the reasons why we do it, is to encourage others. Hey, this is what it looks like. This is what we do. So I say thank you this morning. Amen. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Now, visit in the Bible, like so many words, isn't exactly how we would think of the word visit. You know, like, I'm going to visit Donnie, and we're going to grill out, and, you know, maybe we'll watch the big game. That's okay. That's all right. That's fun. That's a good time. That's not what this visit is like. You know what I'm saying? This visit is like what God does. Amen. And so James says, you follow what God does. And if you're a Christian, you should have a burden, a Christ-like burden for those less fortunate than you. Amen? And see, when God visited the children of Israel, he saw the need. He saw their affliction. You see what I'm saying? But he didn't just say, oh, that's horrible. But he did something about it. God's visitation, Christian visitation, is about healing. Stepping out of your comfort zone. And healing, blessing, being there for others. Amen? That's what Christianity looks like when the world looks at it. We want to be to where when the world looks at us, we got to be like Stephen. We got to be like Jesus. We got to be like the Apostle Paul, where they can't say anything truthfully bad about us. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? That they're going to have to lie and make stuff up about us to condemn us. Amen? Because we're going to live what this Bible says. Amen? Y'all with me? Let me just read this real fast. Exodus 4 and verse 31. This is when Moses, after his 40 years off, you know, remember he escaped from Egypt. He tried to do this little coup, overthrow, you know, raise up the people. And he murdered the Egyptian. And the Israelites were like, what? Whoa, dude. And so they didn't get behind him. And he kind of freaked out. And he got scared. And he fled. And he was in the wilderness himself for 40 years. But then the Lord meets with him. And he comes back to Egypt. And he met up with Aaron. And he meets with the Israelite leaders. Y'all with me? And this is what we see going on right here, Exodus 4 and verse 31. And the people believed, the Israelites believed, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel. See, when God visits those that are hurting, when they're less fortunate, he does something about it. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you don't have the money in the bank, okay? But we can always pray. And when I say pray, I mean pray. But if there's something you can do, then we need to do it. But least of all, pray and really pray and do what you can for these people. Bring them before the Lord. Father God, you know I cannot do anything about this financially, Lord Jesus. But if you give me $1 million, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm playing it. We ain't ever prayed a prayer like that, have we? Just let me win the lottos, Jesus. You know the good I can do if I win this lottos. Give me the numbers, Jesus. All right, whatever. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, let that be an encouragement to you guys this morning. God sees what you're going through. You may feel so alone. You may feel so discouraged. You may feel like somebody just gave you a low blow. And all God's people said, low blow. God sees all. He sees our affliction. And that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. So if you're going through something this morning, just give him praise. Just give him worship. Give him glory. Because he sees what you're going through. He sees what you're going through, and he's going to make a way where there is no way. Y'all hear me this morning? Okay, well, guess what? If we are his body, that's a song, then we're supposed to be doing something what we can. We're supposed to be there to bless our brothers and sisters and to be a blessing and encouragement to a lost and dying world. Amen? So here is the Christian life. Here's a road, man, and this is us. We're heading down that road, and actually it's more like this, right? And all God's people did that. Yeah, I know a good portion of y'all are just way too cool to be doing that when I say do that. I get it. I understand it. I'm with you. I'd have to think about it hard, too, if somebody was up here doing that. But look, here's the Christian life. So on one side, when somebody sees us, we got these public things, not out of any ulterior motive, not for people to think that we're cool or hip, but because we have that Christ-like burden for a lost and dying world, those less fortunate of us, those widows, those orphans, those aborted babies, and the mamas and the women that are thinking about making that choice, everything that concerns the Lord, we pray about and we see what we can do about it. I'm not talking about picketing anything. Okay, if you want to do that, do that. Do that as an American citizen. Y'all know what I'm saying? Amen. But I'm talking about doing what you can do. Earnestly go before the Lord. Meet with these people and give them the truth, but always give them the truth with love. Amen? Amen. Are y'all with me so far? So on this side of the road, the public, this is what people are going to see me doing. And I'm not doing it to be cool. I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I want to be a blessing. But on the other side of the road, we have this right here, because like I said, this is like a picture of how our Christian life should be, how it should look. Amen. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows and their afflictions. So that's in the public eye. That's what people might see. And to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's what people don't necessarily see. That's on the other side of the road. That's what you're doing in your room. That's what you're doing in your home. That's what you're doing in front of the computer. Amen? That's what you're doing when ain't no one ever going to know unless they just happen to look in the window, which they probably shouldn't be doing. So, James is like, this is what it should look like. You know what I mean? Y'all with me? And to keep oneself unstained from the world. So no more straddling that fence. As I get deeper in my walk, closer and more intimate with the Lord, the things of the world should have less and less of a pull than they did yesterday, right? Increasingly so, as we're on this journey in our relationship with the Lord, more productive, godly fruit and a whole lot of less sin. Amen? God is good, right? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. James 2 and verse 1. I thought we were going to talk about no favorites this morning. My brothers, Show no partiality, my brothers. Right, he's talking to Christians, so I understand that part. But another thing James is doing, because we see that over and over again in this study, saying, I'm in the trenches with you guys. I'm not elevating myself. I don't think I have it all together. These are things that I have to work on too. Amen. You see where he's going with that? My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So that's easy enough to interpret. Christians shouldn't be prejudiced to nobody. Shouldn't be having no type of favorites. Is that make sense to anybody this morning? Amen. So anybody and everybody that wants to come through that door should feel welcome here, should be welcome here. Oh, yeah, but not some gay people, right? Because, you know, that I got kids and nope, hold the phone. We give the truth. We give it in love. We're not changing anything. But anybody and everybody that wants to come in here should be welcome here. And how about this? How about one of us take them out to dinner afterwards? And show them the love of Jesus, right? Right? Because you know what? Jesus would be hanging out with them. Oh, not my Jesus. That's not what I see in my Bible. Tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, that's pretty much everybody. He didn't have no favorites. And who's leaving the church now? Is like people not coming back next week? Because I want you all to come back. But I mean, this is biblical, man. You know what I mean? This is the real deal, man. Oh, well, let me back it up with scripture because I'm getting nervous. John 3:16, amen, Miss Kiwi. John 3:16, you guys know this one, right? For God so loved only the straight people. It doesn't say that. For God so loved the world, that's everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes, whoever, the whole world, whoever can receive salvation. He loves us all. So we're not to play favorites. You know what I mean? I mean, we're not supposed to bend over and do somersaults and everything. You know, be like, thank you, Jesus. We got some homosexuals in the church. I've been waiting for you. You know what I mean? We love everybody. And we treat everybody the same. Amen? Amen. I'm not making nothing up. It's right here. Amen. Preach it, sister. And see, that's the thing about some sins. You're right, Miss Kiwi. That's the thing about some sins. There's some sins that we, in private, are almost like, hey, well, I can see kind of how old boy would have gotten involved in that, you know. You know, but and then other times we're like, because we don't get it, because it's not something that we've been tempted by, because it's not our ball of wax, right? Then we're like, that's nasty. That's perverse. Right? There's a special place in hell for them. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. But it's the truth, man. It is the truth. And what did Jesus say to that bunch of Pharisees that were about to stone that woman caught in the act of adultery? She was caught red-handed, caught in the act of adultery. There wasn't no ifs, ands, buts about it. She was caught. And he said, okay, you cats, whoever is perfect, whoever ain't never sinned, you throw the first stone. And you know what that meant? See, in those days, it was usually the first stone that would probably do that person in. They tie you up, throw you in a hole, and then the accuser, the main accuser, so somebody was going to have to step up before this woman to die and say, I'm better than her. I'm perfect. And so that person would more than likely, if he was a good shot, would drop it on her chest, and then she'd be dead. And then everybody else would get their turn until there's a big pile of rocks over. You know what I mean? Nobody in here can pick up a rock. Y'all with me? Amen. Okay. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, y'all get the picture, you're bright. Rich, fancy boy comes in, has an entourage and limos and security. He comes in here, and then you got a guy, you know, look, you know, wearing a tank top from 1982 or whatever, and looks like he rolled around and bathed in rabbit poo-poo or something. You know, I'm just painting a picture, man. Okay? And smells like it. Y'all know where this is going, right? Shabby clothing also comes in. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place. Oh, rich fancy boy, why don't you come sit up here?" And you get a place of honor, right? And oh, look, everybody. Rick, I'm not sure. Is that Liberace's stepson? Somebody special's in the church today. Ladies and gentlemen, Liberace's stepson is with us today. I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's got a kid or stepson or whatever. I don't know. The more I think about it, that was kind of silly, but hooting holler, anything's possible, but you know, whatever, you know. No special attention. But see, we look at people and we're like, ooh. Oh, VLC might make it in the newspaper. I'm going to have me a little picture next to Liberace's grandson, stepson, whatever. Liberace, grandson, stepson, could you tickle the ivories for us? Do you have the gift? You know, stuff like that happens, right? And then the poor guy, you know, the poor guy's like, you can sit at my feet. Which, you know, back then people's feet was nasty. You know what I mean? Sandals. Dirty, dusty roads. Dusty roads. But yeah, I will give you no honor. Matter of fact, I would like for you to go stand in the back. No favoritism. Amen? Now that's what goes on in the world, right? We're not part of the world. We're in the world, but we're not part of it. We're pilgrims passing through, right? So we need to live a godly life. We need to set that godly example. Inside these four walls and outside. Word up. Thank you, Jesus. You stand out there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? To show partiality is great evil, man. That's what the Lord just said, man. Don't be picking favorites. Don't be honoring somebody for some reason, right? Don't make somebody up to be something or not. Don't put somebody on a pedestal and bring somebody else down, right? I'm talking about equal, man. Equal. All God's people said equal. Equal. This is why we get in that situation, 1 Samuel 16 and 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, it sounded preacherific. JD, was that preacherific? Okay. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." Here's the deal. Samuel was going to Bethlehem to see Jesse to pick the new king. Now, they had a king, but he was a horrible king. His name was King Saul, and he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a handsome guy and a mighty warrior, but he was an awful, awful guy, right? So he was sent to get another king, to anoint another king. And so Samuel sees this one cat, I think his name was Eliab, sees him and he says, "Wow, this has got to be him. This guy's handsome, he's cool, he's tough. Man, this is it." And God gives him this nice little rebuke, Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature." So we ain't supposed to be doing that either, are we? "Because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So we're not supposed to judge by outward appearances. And we don't have a clue what's really going on in someone's heart, do we? We really don't. So we got to leave that up for the Lord. That's reserved for him. Amen. Now we have to use righteous judgment. We have to judge by what that book says. Someone comes to you and they want you to make them feel comfortable with their sin. I know that never happens to anybody in this church. But then we have to say what that Bible says. We have to use righteous judgment. Y'all with me? We have to judge actions. Y'all with me? But we don't judge motives because we don't know the whole picture. Only God does that, right? And the same way we judge somebody, that's going to come on us. So let that be an encouragement. Y'all with me so far? Romans 2 and verse 11, for God shows no partiality. For God shows no partiality. So who in the world are we to be picking favorites? Acts 10 and verse 34. This is when Peter was going out to the Gentiles, Cornelius. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. Partiality. So are we supposed to be picking favorites out? Is everybody cool? I'm just ordering my pizza. James 2 and verse 5. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. James 2 and verse 5. When we finish this slide, we are done. James 2 and verse 5. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who loved him? So Jesus, God, does not exclude the poor person from salvation. For God so loved the world, right? Okay, so we don't exclude anybody. Equal treatment. We love everybody. Amen? Treat everybody awesome. Right? Amen. I say awesome. Awesome. Good. Y'all are good at that. Verse 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Ouch. So here's the deal. This whole thing that James is talking about, say a poor man and a rich man enter the church at the same time. This isn't, hey, watch out for this if this happens. James is like, I heard about this. Now, booyah, don't do this no more. All right? It's like, stop it. But you have dishonored the poor man. How about that? Jesus loves those less fortunate than us. A true Christian should have a heart and a burden for those who are less fortunate than us. Amen. God did not reject or hold back his salvation from those less fortunate than us. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that? That he said, you Gentiles, you come on in. That's good news, man. Really, really good news. Anyways, whatever. That's another sermon. Okay. Jesus loves them. But sometimes we can insult people. Y'all with me? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Okay, this was a common occurrence. Read Amos. Read the Old Testament, man. It was a big thing. The rich people had the power, and they were doing anything they can, a lot of them, to oppress the poor people. Kind of like today, sometimes. Remember, sometimes, some places, right? Okay, well, that was what was going on. And if the rich got you into court, guess who had the money to bribe the judges? Because that went on too. Guess who was going to get their way more than likely in court? The rich man. And the rich man would take people to court to get their land, to get their property, so the rich man could get richer and the poor guy could be poor. So the rich guy didn't necessarily have a heart for the poor people. Now let me make this statement right here. James is not saying when the rich man comes in here, you don't start hitting them, you don't attack them. There ain't no rich people ever allowed in here. Well, let's take up the offering first. Stop it. Not yet, Rick. Pass the plate. It's not about that, man. You know, equal. All God's people say equal. And do this like a dance move. Equal. Yeah. Well, that's what it's about, man. Jesus said, I ain't playing favorites. So we ain't supposed to be playing favorites. But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Now, they ain't supposed to be treating the rich person mean, amen, because like we said earlier, we've all fallen short, amen. We've all blown it. Are they not the ones who blaspheme, okay? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? And that was also something else the rich folks were doing. Christians. Dumb old Christians. attacking the name of Jesus. James is writing this to first generation Jewish Christians. And they were getting some persecution. It wasn't hip. It wasn't awesome. It wasn't the thing to do in Palestine to be a Christian. That was not what you went to do to be elected. You know what I mean? So there was that going on too. But we have to forgive everybody that's ever harmed us. He's not saying be mean. He's saying, don't try and make this dude look super, super good and awesome. Amen? And then forget about this poor guy. Because last time I checked, the majority of these early Christians, y'all a bunch of poor people too. Amen? Y'all with me? Leviticus 19:15. Oh, there it is. You shall do no injustice in court. Okay. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. Don't be partial or pick out either side, ma'am. Love them like Jesus loves them. Treat everybody the same. Amen. I'll back it up. James 2 and verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law. What's the royal law? It's the king's law handed down from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. If you really follow the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is James quoting what Jesus quoted in Matthew, and Jesus quoted what was said in Leviticus. Okay? We're supposed to love our neighbor like we love ourselves. And that is with the assumption that we do love ourselves, and we know we do. Right? Love our neighbor as ourselves. So here we go again. Here we go again. What's going on in the private? People better be able to be seeing some fruit, right? I better be producing some fruit. And with the fruit that people can't see, I better be producing that too. I need to be living that godly life and trying to be a blessing to a lost and dying world. Amen? I want to be bearing some fruit. Y'all with me? And James is like wrapping it all up with a nice little ribbon. It's like, easy way to do it. Easy way to do it. So, so easy. Easy way to put it. Love everybody like you love yourself. You see somebody hurting, God has allowed you to see somebody hurting or going through something, do what you can about it. Amen? Y'all with me? Amen. That's what James is talking about, man. Let's get out and live like Christians. Let's be bearing some fruit. Amen? Amen. Father God, we love you and we praise you. You are worthy of our praise. You are everything. Let us understand and realize and grab hold of the fact that you are everything, that you are all we need. And when we put you first, Lord God, you're going to meet our needs and take care of us. Thank you for blessings on this congregation. Bless all your Christians worldwide, Lord Jesus. Bless those persecuted saints, Lord Jesus. Give them endurance. Give them provision. Give them safety and give them boldness to do what you'd have them to do. Bless the nation of Israel. We love you, Jesus. And all the people in the church said, amen. Now listen up, guys. Work.